1 John
4, verses 7 through 21. A magnificent exposition on loving one another. Tonight, we're going to take a look at verses 7 through 11. John was the only apostle to die of old age. All the others were killed because of persecution. Before he died, it is said that John became very weak physically. And it was said that he could not walk. And so the brethren had to carry him to the assembly to worship God. And while there, he told the brethren repeatedly, "Little children, love one another." I believe that as we look at chapter 4, verses 7 through 20, which we'll look at in these next couple weeks, that we will see why John urged the brethren repeatedly, not only in this biblical text, but also from what history says, to love one another. It is easy to see John's love right here in 1 John. Let me remind you of what we have seen already as I've been taking you through 1 John. In chapter 2, verse 1, is the first term of endearment when he made reference to my little children. And he continued. Verse 7, he said, brethren. Verses 12 through 14, he made reference to little children, fathers, and young men. In verse 18, he was again calling them, or us, little children. Verse 28, he again called them little children. Chapter 3, verse 2, he calls them beloved. Verse 7, little children. Verse 13, my brethren. Verse 18, my little children. Verse 21, beloved. And this morning, we noted in chapter 4, verse 1, beloved. And then, right now, in chapter 4, verse 7, he again used a term of endearment, pleading with the brethren in all sincerity to love one another. You may want to go through your Bible sometime, if you mark in your Bibles, and just mark all those terms of endearment. And listen to this man speak to us in Scripture. Let's begin with verses 7 and 8. Let us love one another. The Spirit guided John to write, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Let us love one another. This commandment, brethren, is so important you can only find one other commandment in the entire Bible, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, that tops this command that John just gave us. The command to love one another still stands. It has not been modified. It has not been altered to accommodate us because of someone that we may not love and don't want to love. John said, let us love one another, for love is of God. If we love, we show that we are of God because love comes from God. There are forms of love that are natural without even knowing God. There are people who have love, forms of love, without even knowing God. However, the love of which John wrote comes only from knowing God. John announced two things that can be said of him who loves his brother. Number one, he is born of God. God has converted that man or woman. God has touched him or her. And secondly, he knows God. He who loves shows that he loves God, for God teaches us to love. Did you listen carefully to what Lake read earlier? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul reminds us of something that has already been said in the Old Testament, had already been taught by the Lord, and now the Holy Spirit is using Paul to teach it yet again. And then he used John to write it yet again. That's how important this is. Don't dismiss it. Don't call it liberal. I know there's some people who think talking about love is liberal. Well, if it is, write down Don Rule's name as a liberal, because I think it's God's way, isn't it? In fact, I've told you before that one time I preached on 1 John 4, verses 7 and 11, and I told you there was a man who was visiting with us that day many years ago. I was still in Klamath Falls. And he came up to me afterwards and says, "We've had enough stuff of love. We need some hard things." And he slapped his fist into his hand. And I thought, didn't you hear what John said in verses 7 through 11 of 1 John 4? He said some hard things. If you don't love, you don't know God, and you're not of God. And if you're not of God, who are you of? You're in a bunch of trouble. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4. Let me again read verses 9 and 10. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you." That's right. If 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10 was not in the Bible, we wouldn't be missing anything from what Paul's saying right here. Paul does not reveal anything new. Well, why then is it in the Bible? It must be that the Holy Spirit, in His infinite, eternal wisdom, said, you know what? They need to hear it again. "For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Can we ever hear too much on love? I don't think so, based upon what Paul said right there. And then several decades later, God has John write 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11. Conversely then, he who does not love does not know God. Anyone, Christian or not, John said, who does not love God does not know God. That is, if we don't love one another, that person does not know God. One commentator said, "Not to have known love is not to have known God. Being in the presence of God is like being in the presence of the sun. If you are in the sun long enough, your skin shows it. If you are in the presence of God long enough, your love shows it." He who does not love does not know God, because God is love. To know God, or to know God, is to love as God does. God is love. It is the very essence of His nature. He loves people in spite of who they are. He loves people totally. Ephesians chapter 2, brings home the awesomeness of the love of God, that He showed it to us at a time when we were the least deserving of it. Listen to the first five verses of Ephesians chapter 2. "And you who He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God..." Isn't that magnificent? I love the way verse 4 starts. "But God..." Here's what we were, Paul said. Just look at how despicable we were. Look at how unlovable we were from man's standpoint. And in sharp contrast to that, "but God," he says, starting at verse 4, "who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." It is healthy for each of us to spend time remembering what we used to be, and maybe sometimes still are. And yet, here's this great God above who so loves us. The nature of God is such that to be in His presence and to know Him, we become like Him. Therefore, he who knows God cannot help but to be like Him. And that is to love. Regardless of what good things you can say about someone, John says, if he does not love, he does not yet know God as he ought to know Him. The next two verses, 1 John 4, 9 and 10. The love of God. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God manifested His love toward us. What good is love that is hidden? His love is not merely within Him, but His love is righteousness. Therefore, it naturally flows out of Him toward others. He manifested His Son, or manifested His love by sending His Son into the world. God shows love in many ways. He meets our daily physical needs. He meets our daily spiritual needs. But the ultimate expression of His love was sending His Son into the world. To show someone that you love Him, give him a gift. God gave us a gift. His very own Son. I was thinking a lot about 2 Corinthians 9 this week, verse 15. It's short. And of course, I know that's the way man has divided it up. Paul didn't write it that way, but there is a short sentence here. And I was just thinking about the fact that it is short, makes a powerful statement because it demonstrates what Paul's trying to say in that verse. He said, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." If Paul, in that case, had gone on and on and on and on about the gift of God's Son, kind of would have taken away from the idea that it's indescribable. So the fact that he just says, "Thank you, God, for this gift that is indescribable," and then ends the sentence, he said a lot, didn't he? It's one of those times when less is more. How can we describe the love of God in sending His Son? Some translations, I think my old American Standard said, is unspeakable gift. As though it's just not possible to speak on it. God sent Jesus from wealth to poverty, from peace to violence, from acceptance to rejection, from worship to crucifixion. Why? He sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. God was not thinking of Himself or even of His Son, but He was thinking of us. He thought of us to give us life. What prevents our living eternally is our sin. And Jesus died for our sins. That is, He experienced the wrath of God for us because of our sins. John wrote further in verse 10, a truth that we cannot deny, that we did not love God. Did we love God first? No. We loved ourselves first. He loved us first before we loved Him. God took the first step. He loved when He was hated. He loved even though we were slow to return it, if we even do return it. As you know, in most cases, it's not returned. But He still loved the world anyway. He loved us by sending His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. John mentioned the same concept back in chapter 2, verse 2. What this idea of propitiation means is that what Jesus experienced on the cross was enough to satisfy God's wrath. When God saw what humanity did to His Son, and God allowed it to go on, He said, "That's enough. I don't need to pour out my wrath anymore. What has happened to my Son shall be enough to satisfy my justice for all of humanity." So as far as God is concerned, He does not ever have to pour out His wrath again. But we shouldn't be mistaken. That doesn't mean that He won't. It means He doesn't have to. It means He doesn't want to. But for the people who end up going to their deaths, continuing to reject His love, then they're going to experience some very bad things. But we have believed in Him. We have turned from our sins. And so now, He's our propitiation. He's our satisfaction. God's justice, His wrath has been met. We never have to see it. Praise God for such a gift. Now let's look at verse 11. His love leads us to love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Wow. If God so loved us, we should do the same toward each other. In verses 7 and 8, John commanded us to love one another. And in those verses, as well as verses 9 and 10, he showed us the love of God, and what we saw we really liked. Man, I love verses 7 through 10. Do you not? If you've never read those verses before, and you just heard them for your first time tonight, I mean, aren't they magnificent? Don't you just love what they say? I mean, you want to talk about a passage of Scripture that just makes you feel good. It's the ones we just looked at in 1 John 4. They really are magnificent. And then John goes, boom! Now the rubber meets the road. He says, brethren, now in the same manner that God has loved us, now think about that, in the same manner that God has loved us, we ought to love one another. Kaboom! Right between the eyes, he let us have it, didn't he? He set us up! We really liked what he was saying. And then he hit us with that. But you know something? If we accept his love, and we accept it totally, and we understand it, we won't be bothered by verse 11. We'll say, when's the first chance I can show it? He loved by giving. So we ought to love by giving to one another. He loved by enabling us to live. So we ought to love one another by enabling others to live or to have a better life. He loved first. So we ought to love first. He loved those who did not love him. So we ought to love those who do not love us. I'd like to encourage you to think on the words of this passage. Of course, I want you to think about Scripture all the time. I want you to always think what I've delivered to you and see whether it's consistent with Scripture. But please, brethren, go home this week and chew and digest 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11. Brethren, think on God's love toward us. If you're following along with the handouts that are in the bulletin, you'll see a quotation that I have there from a commentator by the name of Curtis Vaughn. And he said this, God's self-giving love was drawn forth by our need, not by any good within us, and it found in our sin the occasion for its fullest expression. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. God's self-giving love was drawn forth by our need. We were unlovable people. We were hateful people. We were filled with lust and envy and all kinds of bad things. And God said, those people need love. Now, when we see people like that, it turns us off. And we say, you don't need my love, and I'm not going to give it to you. God said, I am going to give it to you. You need it. And now he says, we need to learn to look at each other the same way. You know something? There are things in all of us that can turn off everyone else, right? Have you ever been turned off by a brother or sister before? I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'll bet all of us could say, oh yeah, there's some people who have really turned me off and have hurt me. Well, what did God do when we turned him off and offended him and hurt him? He loved us. He says, I want you to be the same way now. Surely you would say that His love has had an immense power and influence on your life to change your life forever. Brothers and sisters in Christ, accept His love by being a follower of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't end at baptism. That's just the beginning. Nevertheless, if you've not repented of your sins and you're ready to do that and you want to be baptized to have all your sins washed away, you can do it tonight. But I want to encourage everyone here that you would continue in your salvation by loving all your brethren. Let us all love one another. If we can assist you tonight, please come forward now as we stand and sing.